So really excited for what we get to share with you guys today and who's going to be up here with us. But before we get to that, one more thing to tell you about is the prayer emphasis we're in right now. So every season this year, we've been focusing on prayer in a special way for 3 weeks at a time. Right now, we're starting our second week about giving thanks. And it's a time for the whole church to get together and all be praying in the same direction. So the way that we do that is we have these little forms at the side of the stage if you want to pick one of these up, and they give you a prayer prompt every day. It's only about a paragraph or so to read, but it gets you started praying in the same direction as everyone else is praying. It gets you thinking about thankfulness in a new way. And so if you want to be a part of what we're doing here as a church with that prayer emphasis, please grab one of those or check our Facebook page every day. It updates with the new prayer emphasis for that day. So now that we've got that out of the way, though, today we're still talking about gratitude, about being thankful to God. We've got a guest to join us. Bob, can you tell us about that?
We do. Donnie Moat, come up here, please, sir. There you go. So Donnie made me cry in the first service. He said, "What are you crying for?" I'm kind of proud of you. Roll back the clock a couple of years, I wasn't too proud of him. We were actually sending people out to watch him to make sure he behaved himself at church. And he was all harmless and good, but we didn't know that. Got acquainted with him. And so you're a pretty nice story. And there's a whole bunch. There's a whole room full of nice stories. And I hope you don't forget to name a few names as you talk this time, because, and you didn't the last time, but there's some men and women here who've had an impact in your life, made a difference. And so we'll get to that. So,
I don't think there's enough time, Bob.
What?
I don't think there's enough time.
There's not enough times, right. So I'm going to say this really quickly, but just really clear. The Bible tells us for that we all have sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. And the truth to that is all means all, right? So we're going to tell Donnie's story, but Donnie's really no exception. We all have sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. But the beauty is Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. The Apostle Paul is the one who said that. And Paul said, "Of whom I am chief." And there are a lot of us probably who would say, "No, I could beat you, you know, and I'm better than you." But the truth is we all fit in that category. So we're going to tell a story of salvation. We're going to tell a story of people helping other people. We're going to tell a story about that's full of thanksgiving. So, good enough? So get us started, Donnie, and tell us a little bit about, we're going to take a little slice of life before you met the Lord. What was it like?
It was miserable, Bob. I've been in and out of facilities since I was 11 years old. Had a lot of time to do whatever I wanted as a child, and everybody knows that as a child, you don't make the best decisions, and I definitely didn't make the best decisions. I've been under state supervision since I was 11, in and out of jail, prisons. I don't know if anybody here has been to prison or not. Exactly. I started doing meth when I was about 13 or 14 years old, and I really never thought I was addicted to it because I sold it too at the same time. So it was kind of I thought I was addicted to selling it, not really doing it, until I went to prison, did 5 years flat, and swore I'd never do it again, got out, and within like 3 months was on it again. And then due to losing some family members and being locked up again, swore I'd never do it again, got out and did it again. So I realized that it wasn't just the selling that I was doing it I didn't have no control over it. I was just, you know, I was obviously addicted to it at that point. I had two beautiful daughters about 8 years ago. And about 2 years into Serenity, she came out and told me she loved me. At like 2 a.m, she came out and hugged me and told me she loved me. And that made me quit selling dope. I didn't want to be in prison the rest of my life. But after quitting it, I still had a habit. And it was a bad habit because at that point I had a lot of dope and I had it all the time. And so I had to figure out how I was going to provide for my family and keep a habit. And I had no trades, didn't know how to live life without drugs. So basically my pride and ego destroyed me and my family and everything else, because the more I hated myself, the more I took it out on my family, and no one liked to be around me at that point. I was miserable, depressed. Nothing. There was no positivity in me yet whatsoever. The only thing I knew was I was going to get locked up again. I just waited for it to happen. It got to the point to where I tried suicide 2014, hung myself, and was actually dead. A cop came and brought me out of the tree, brought me back to life. And at that point, everybody was like, oh, there must be a God. You're still alive. And I was like, if there's a God, he don't like me, because obviously he won't even let me kill myself. He's got me here suffering longer. So for about the next 9 months, I swore against him. Anything that had to do with God, anything that had to do with anything holy. Obviously, I was writing songs that you guys probably would look at me crazy if you heard this, the lyrics I said about God. About 2015, my kids ended up in this church. It was January, I think, of 2015. They ended up here at Maywood, and I couldn't see my kids anywhere else where they're living. I couldn't go there because the cops had called, and so I found out they were coming here. I started coming here on Sundays, and that's when Bob met me, and everybody else that's still here from that, for that point, they seen me walking around, didn't really talk to nobody, just waited for my kids to get out of Sunday school. And when they would, I would see them for like 15 minutes, and then I would go another week waiting for Sunday to come back up here. And it was a miserable, miserable way to live. I decided, I ran into some people that I did time with, and I figured that they were here probably stealing money from the church. I honestly couldn't fathom the fact that these people that were at this church that I did time with or did drugs with on the streets, or, you know, I mean, sold drugs too. I mean, the faces I seen, there's no way that they were actually here doing the right thing. So I stayed away from them. I didn't trust them either. Only person I did trust was Bob, and he didn't really know that at that point. But anyways,
how'd you meet the Lord?
Well,
skip right to that.
To the Lord was 2015. December 11th, I got sober. I surrendered. I didn't have any other answers. I couldn't figure out anything. Everything I tried was miserable. I was right back to ready to commit suicide. I'd do if I tried it again, I'd probably fail again. So that was obviously not an option. I didn't want to live, but I couldn't die either. So I was kind of forced to figure something out. I went to my PO, and it was December 10th. I asked my PO to lock me up. Begged my PO to lock me up. I couldn't get sober without being incarcerated, and they wouldn't lock me up. He told me I had to figure it out on my own. And the only thing that I knew at that point in time was Maple House. It was the only place it was where you get a little bit of a freedom, but you still had to do what you were supposed to do. And so I went to my sponsor, and I begged him to come back there. And I went there, and you know, it wasn't really anything but to just get sober at that point in time. But whether it wasn't find God, it was just get sober, get drugs out of my system, so that couldn't be an excuse no more. And immediately Jesus lifted the obsession to use meth. I mean, it was crazy. Within a week, I didn't even think about doing it no more. But I still had a lot of things to deal with inside my mind, and I had an emptiness that I couldn't fill for real. And I came here. Was it the week before Christmas or the Wednesday before Christmas? We had a big men's group downstairs, and all these guys that I had seen when I first came here were in this meeting, you know. And I don't know if you guys know the men's group here, but these guys are not somebody you'd want against you. You know, if you ran into them without knowing they went to church, you probably would be like, what's up, man? What? You know, I got Chris Weeks giving me a hug. I got Matt Smith buying me a Bible. Scotty Williams bought me a Jesus Calling book. And, you know, the names, the guys that welcomed me here with open arms, you know, when I said, look, I'm ready, I want what you guys have. You guys have all fought the same fights. You've been in the same cells I have. You've been in the same courtrooms, went through the same trials, tribulations. I mean, if Jesus or Maywood or whatever it was gave you what you have, I want what you have. And I surrendered right then. I was like, man, I want it. I want everything that you guys, I plugged in. I mean, I plugged in. And a friend of mine says that if you unplug for 1 second, everything in your refrigerator is going to spoil. And so that stuck in my head too. It was like, man, I stay plugged in, accountable. Anything I thought, anything, I came to men's groups every Wednesday. I went to church every Sunday. Anything I was asked to do, I did. You know, I couldn't see my kids on my birthday, and here I am getting, now I'm running the youth group. on Sunday with another guy named Doug Murdoch. I do Powerhouse Kids with Bob Wednesday night. And this guy, like, literally, I could not go nowhere near the children when I first got here. They thought I was going to try to take my kids and run out the door or what. I don't really know what it was they thought I was going to do, but I couldn't go nowhere near that hall. Bob would see me, he's like, the fellowship hall's there. You need to go in that room. And the surrendering to God was, thank you, Jesus. You know, it's really simple. Once you get out of the way of what you do normally and just, you know, realize that no matter what you thought you knew or anything that you think you can do, you really have no control over nothing because he does.
You do. Amen. So nice. That's, yeah. So I want you to, you've got a year of sobriety coming up when?
December 11th, 2016.
Right. Good. And you mentioned Doug Murdoch. What's that guy doing for you right now?
He takes me to Lee Summit, way out in Lee Summit. He gets up every morning, I don't know, probably 4 o'clock in the morning, and drives to pick me up and off the avenue and takes me to work every morning by 6 o'clock in the morning, and he picks me up afterwards. And, he does this without wanting anything in return. And, you know, his car's broken down twice during this process. And I've watched him get upset. And I'm like, man, here we go. But he, through both of our faith and us praying and just knowing, look, everything's going to be all right. Things are going to work out. You know, his car starts up again. And you know, it's been a miracle for real.
So Jake and I, we give this little speech every time we get up. And that is, we're just coaches. And you all are the players. Here's one of our players. But he mentioned some other names, Matt Smith and some other guys. You mentioned those people who, Chris Weeks, Doug Murdoch, and there's others we could mention. And now he is multiplying that. When the kids have Donnie in the gym with recreation, they'd rather prefer him than me because I'm just an old grouchy dude, you know. But they got Donnie, and he's fun. And the same, the teenagers can relate to him. And
because I'm still a teenager, Bob.
That's exactly right. So... So that's a good story. Why don't we're going to shift gears because I'm watching the clock up here, Jake. So.
Yeah. So Donnie and I got a chance to talk earlier this week, and I was asking, so tell me about what God's done in your life. Tell me about some places the Bible has spoken to you. And Donnie, you brought up this verse to me out of Isaiah 43. God's talking here, and he says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. How did that help set you free?
Man. Anybody that's depressed usually comes from living in the past, dwelling on things that has happened, that, you know, things that you've done, things that someone else has done. Just learning to just forget it. You know, I can't change nothing. I have no power over what happened yesterday, and forgiving myself, you know, anything that I've done. Because I obviously have done a lot of stupid things and things that I dwelled on and that I would not forgive myself. And that was how I actually found peace inside, was to forget myself, forget the former things.
So if you are hearing Donnie's story today and you're thinking, I want what Donnie has, just like Donnie was saying about those guys last Christmas, think about, you got to do the steps that Donnie's doing. One of those steps is to not let the past ruin your present. It's to get to the spot where you can forgive yourself, which Donnie didn't accomplish that on his own. Like, he had Maple House, he had God, he had guys here helping him do that. You know, as Donnie and I were reading through this passage together, we saw, you know, this passage describes, these next few verses describes what God was doing in Donnie's life, doing in a lot of lives here at Maywood. Bob, will you tell us about the next verse?
Sure, let's look. By the way, you picked a good passage, Donnie. Jesus, actually, the Lord spoke through Isaiah, and he said, I'm doing a new thing. That was 500 years before Jesus came to earth, but God's doing a new thing then. He's doing a new thing now. And he'll be doing a new thing when this whole crowd of people are in heaven, okay? He says, I'm doing a new thing. It springs up. Do you not perceive it? In other words, he wants us to see what he's doing. And we never should ever take for granted what God is doing at Maywood. He is doing a new thing. He is touching lives. He's giving people life where they didn't have life. He's giving them hope where they didn't have hope. He's setting them free and so on. Let's see it and thank God for it. Time of thanksgiving. Let's look at the next verse. He says, I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And I thought about the wasteland. What is it? It is a land that is a waste. It's not productive. It produces nothing. Another image is being lost. By the way, who's lost? We're all lost without God, okay? Here are my keys, and I don't know how many times I've lost my keys. When they are lost, they are not useful to me. They're very handy when they're in my pocket, and they're very handy when I put them in a lock to open a door. But if they're lost, they're not useful. There was a time when Donnie and Jake and Bob, and we could name names front to back in this auditorium, where we were lost. That means we were not useful to God. He had things he wanted to do to us, but we were a wasteland. We were wasting our life, and we were wasting the lives of people around us, and we laid waste to society, and we were unproductive. But thank God, he comes and he gets us, and he pours out his streams of living water, that's the Holy Spirit, into our lives to make us new and to cause us to flourish. And so we go from being lost and useless to being a Sunday school teacher and being a children's worker and being a lady who, wherever Jennifer has gone to encouraging a church to go out and care for other families. And I could just name names throughout the building. God takes us from there to a new place. So our encouragement as you listen to Donnie is to say, okay, I'm going to move from the wasteland place, that place of lost. I'm going to get found so I can have the life God wants me to have, but I'm also going to be used by God to do his work. So, Jake, why don't you take us a little further?
Yeah, that word wasteland, maybe that just rolled right by. Maybe that didn't stick out to you. Something D. Osgood taught me several months ago, D. said he would get up in the mornings and think about what he used to be like, think about what his life used to be like, and go through a series of like a thank you exercise with God. But thank you for these things that you've changed in my life. When you think about your life and what you used to be before God, or maybe what you're like right now, I wonder if there's a particular animal that might fit with you. It's going to bring up an animal. Isaiah's going to talk about an animal in the next verse. He's going to talk about jackals. Jackals are this animal right here. And they're tough animals, but what they spend most of their life doing is getting down in the dirt and grime and fighting over dead, rotten things. Okay, that's a typical life of a jackal. And when you think about who you are or who you were, was this like your life? A lot of anger, a lot of fighting over things that, I mean, nobody wants that in their kitchen. You know, nobody wants dead rhino or whatever that thing is in their kitchen or on their countertop. But these animals are going to fight to the death for it. There's scraps in the wilderness that they're going to fight to the death over. And some of us have been in that exact spot, fighting to the death over something that nobody would even want in their house, something evil or something bad. So if you've been like that, this is verse. It's got some awesome stuff to tell us. It says, the wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provided water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give them drink, to give drink to my people, my chosen. So God says, I want to change the jackals of Western independence into my people by providing for them, by giving them something good. He says, I want to change who they are. The people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. God wants to take your life and mold it, and he has a purpose in mind. He wants you to praise him. A lot of times Bob and I talk about things up here. Well, today we get to see something, get to hear something. So Donnie's been changed by God. Donnie wants to praise God today. So Donnie, I want to hand things over to you. You've got a song for us. Donnie's taken a song and added a couple verses to it, so...
Please, Lord. Go ahead, Adam. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. And in the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. when the solid ground is falling now from underneath my feet. Between the black skies and my red eyes, I can barely see. And when I realize I've been sold out by my friends and my family, I can feel the rain reminding me, in the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm. When my hopes and dreams are far from me and I'm running out of faith, I see the future I picture slowly fade away. And when the tears of pain and heartache are falling down my face, I find my peace in Jesus' name. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. 'Cause you alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm. When I met you, I was broken from self-will for 30 years. I was begging for peace, relief, no more tears. I thought the drugs were a part of who I would always be. Incarceration's the only way to get me clean. I was hateful, bitter, a freaking pessimist. I never smiled or laughed, spiritual deadness. My life was over but wasn't any quick enough. Tried suicide but didn't die. Because of your love, you lifted the obsession to use meth. It disappeared. And now I live in acceptance. I know that you're here and in control of what happens because I have faith. And every day I surrender in your name. And every day I agree to live your way. Your fires inside align me like a hurricane. To go back would be crazy. I would be insane. Thank you, Jesus. I'm free from all of that pain. Thank you, Lord. 'Cause in the eye of the storm, you remain in control. And in the middle of the war, you guard my soul. 'Cause you alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm. You remain in control. 'Cause in the middle of the war, you guard our souls. 'Cause you alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. 'Cause your love surrounds us in the eye of the storm. Thank you. Thank you. This is why. Without Jesus, none of this is possible, y'all.
Good stuff. So, final thought for us today. This water that Isaiah's talking about, when Jesus came, Jesus said, I'm the living water. The water that can change that wilderness that you're in today, the water that Donnie has found that's changed him is Jesus. If you're here today, whether you've been coming for a day or whether you've been coming for 80 years, if you can come and say, I need Jesus during this response time. I need that living water that's changed this man, that's changed so many in this room. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you love us, that in the eye of the storm you are there for us. And that you're doing a new thing here at Maywood, that you're changing people. God, I pray for more and more of that right here in our midst, that Western Independence would become a place full of your living water. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.